My dad took public speaking in college, and he said, never hand out papers to people before you give a talk, because they won't listen to you. They'll just be reading the papers. And that's true, isn't it? You always see people reading the paper you hand out, and they're not paying attention to you. So we'll do that after meeting and then tomorrow. I've appreciated all that was said tonight, the kindness and encouragement that I've received. I appreciate that. Also, to hear what God is doing in our lives, how wonderful. Praise God. That's why we're here. That's what matters. That Jesus come and speak to us. When he speaks, oh, hallelujah, that changes you. And we're going to go home changed, every one of us. I'm sure of that. For the better. And then the work that God does is going to be a deep, lasting, and growing work. Praise God. That's what God wants. He wants it to go deep into your heart. He wants it to last. Not, he doesn't want you to lose it, but he wants it to keep growing in your life. And so I'm looking forward to that myself. And then we bring the blessing back to our home churches, don't we? You know, and now we can fill our place a little bit better. We can enter into worship. We can go out to prayer meeting. We can just give ourselves in whatever way that we have opportunity to. And our churches are blessed. I so get excited when I hear that people from our own church are coming to camp, because you know, there's a liberty at camp in worship. There's a liberty in the leading of the Holy Spirit that we are looking for in our home churches. And I want people to get up to camp and see what it can be like when we really let Jesus have his way, when we really praise him with all our hearts and really spend time calling upon him. And then I want them to come back, and I want them to do that in our church. And it does make a difference. Cordana's family's been up here recently, and we have another Duval family up here I mentioned that they come. And whenever they come back, there's just a touch of God that brings blessing to all of us. And so let's let the Lord use us that way when we go back home. Praise God. I think I've only written one song in my life. I was a teenager. And me and my friend, we were Christians, and we used to get our guitars and jam together. One day my friend Billy said, why don't you finish that song? I was sleeping over his house that night. Why don't you finish that song that you were writing? So he forced me to and helped me to put it to music. And it's not a song that I would sing for you. It wouldn't make the charts. But I taught it to my kids. And they harmonize with it, and we got some background music, and every once in a while they'll start singing my song, Dad's song. And I like that. It's a blessing. But some people have a real gift for that, like Frances Havergal. When we were having our first child, I was going to name our first child Frances Ridley, because we were going to have a gal. That was Natalie. But we decided on Natalie. I was going to name Kenny Barnabas, because I liked Barnabas in the Bible. And Brother Edwin said, why would you do that to the poor kid? So we decided to go with Kenny. So sometimes in the multitude of counselors, there is safety, right? Praise God. Amen. But there's a song in the Bible that I like, and that's in Isaiah chapter 12. And that was written by the Holy Spirit. And God wants us to make it our song too. Isaiah chapter 12. I remember reading Isaiah 12, and it talked about the Lord as my strength and my song. He's also become my salvation. And then I noticed that in the rest of the chapter, he gives us the lyrics to the song. Well, let's look at it. It's only 6 verses. Here Isaiah is talking about the day of salvation. He's looking somehow into the future, and God is making him to see the day when Jesus will come. God himself will come down to earth and will bring salvation. He will be our salvation. He'll be the sacrifice. He'll be the atoning sacrifice for us. Praise God. And then he will live out his life within us. God will be our salvation. We can't save ourselves. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. It had to come from God. God had to do the work. He was the only one that was able. And so Isaiah somehow received insight into the day of salvation. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says God is angry with the sinner all day long. But the Bible also tells us in Ezekiel that God takes no pleasure in the death of the sinner. He has no pleasure in punishing the sinner. He's grieved by their lives. He sees the pain that they cause others. He sees how they're destroying themselves. And God's angry with the sinner every day. But he takes no pleasure in their death. He doesn't look forward to punishing them. The Bible says he would rather they repent and be saved. That's what God wants to do with the sinner. He wants to bring them to repentance. And then he wants to show them his mercy and his love. And he wants to transform the sinner and make a new creature out of them altogether. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature. Old things are passed away. That old life of sin, that old self-centered living. And all things become new in Christ. Hallelujah. And we truly are born again when we receive Jesus into our lives. And a new life begins in us. And now that life has to grow, and we have to learn to yield ourselves and live that life. But, what a real change takes place when Jesus comes to stay. Praise God. And so, God was angry with us, but because he sent his Son, now his anger is turned away, and he comforts us. And then he goes on to say, Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. I think we mentioned the other day that salvation is a person. It's Jesus. It's not a doctrine. It's not a formula that we follow. You can pray the sinner's prayer, but unless you receive Christ into your life, it's just words. But when you pray it in faith, Jesus honors that. And when you open up your heart and say, Lord, it's not the prayer that saves me, it's you that saves me. It's the prayer that opens my heart to you. It's the prayer that directs my faith to you. But Lord, you are the one that washes away my sin. You're the one that comes to live in my heart. You're the one that makes all things new. If I have Jesus, I have life. And if I don't have Jesus, all I have is a dead religion. That'll maybe keep me out of some trouble, but it won't do me any good in the long run. Praise God. You know, it's interesting when you talk to people, some people say they know God, but there's not that witness. And then there are other people you talk to, and you just know that you're one with them, that they love the same Jesus you do in the same way, that they've embraced him as their Savior, that the life of Jesus has come to abide in them. You can sense that with different people, and we don't always judge that perfectly, but I like wherever I go, I often run across Christians. In Canarsie, there's a lot of Christians in Canarsie, and when I get on the train, I like to see people there in the morning. They're reading their Bibles or their daily bread devotionals or so on. And, you know, sometimes you meet someone. I was in a thrift shop the other day, and I saw a man who had a Salvation Army shirt on. He had two S's on his shoulder. I figure that meant Salvation Army. And so I said, Are you with the Salvation Army? He said, Yes. And I said, Well, I'm a Christian. I just wanted to say hello. And he said, Oh, yeah, God bless you, brother. And then we got to talking later on. We ran into each other by the cash register. And, you know, you just sensed he really knew the Lord. He really loved God. He was really a brother in Christ. And then I found out that he knew about the Canarsie Church. He grew up in Canarsie. I found out that he went to our church. I found out that he knew half the people I knew. And he'd been to Pilgrim Camp. And, whoa. And his name was Gambino. And he wasn't a gangster. He was a Christian. And I thought, wow, who would have ever known? Unless I said hello to that fella. And look what that opened up. But we do sense when we're in company of brothers and sisters in Christ, and they might not be Pentecostal or from the Ridgewood Fellowship, but there's a bond there, right? And an immediate recognition that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Praise God. Well, God is my salvation. Salvation is a person. It's Jesus living in my heart. And as I stay close to him and I allow him to work in me, he saves me through and through. Praise God. And then he goes on and he says, therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. The Lord is my strength, and he's my song, and he's become my salvation. And now with joy I can draw water out of the wells of salvation. Those wells of salvation, whenever you read about water in the Bible, it either means one of two things, maybe three. Water for drinking usually speaks about the Holy Spirit. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit, and water for washing is usually a picture of the Word of God. We see that in the Old Testament. The priests would wash themselves as they ministered there in the tabernacle, and Jesus spoke about the cleansing of his word. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And so water for washing often represents the word of God, and then water for drinking. That's the Spirit. That speaks of the living water, the life-giving water that God offers to us. And he says, come, you can have as much as you want. We've been talking about that in these days. There's more for us. We can have as much of Jesus as we want. We can keep drinking every time we come together, and there's still more for us. This fountain never runs dry. Jesus told the woman at the well, if you believe in me, I will be in you a living well, a fountain just rising up, flowing unto eternal life. You won't have to seek the things of this life to satisfy you. I will be in you a constant well. And every time you need a drink, every time you need satisfaction, every time there's a need, every time there's a thirst, I will flow in you. In John chapter 7, Jesus speaking about the Holy Spirit says, as we know, because it's our verse for this year, that he that believes in me out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And here in these two passages, one speaks about the living water that satisfies us, that enriches our lives, that meets our needs. And then Jesus speaks about the living water that flows through us to influence and bless and minister to those that God brings into our lives. Praise God. And so it has to start there. I have to learn to drink myself so that I can water others. Praise God. And so don't ever think that you're selfish because you come to church and you seek Jesus so much. Because as you seek Jesus, he comes to you so that you can have something to offer others as you go out into the world. Praise God. I can't give them what I don't have. But if I know Jesus in greater fullness, then he can overflow from my life into theirs. Praise God. And so those that are the greatest blessings to others are the ones that seek Jesus most for themselves. Praise God. And then he tells us, in that day ye shall say. And so the Lord's my strength and my song. And here's the words to the song that he wants me to sing throughout my life. First verse says, praise the Lord. That's the first verse to the song that I'm to sing as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We've been saying that a lot tonight. But God wants that to be our song all the time. wants it to be characteristic of our life, that we praise him, that we rejoice in him. I've been talking a little bit about rejoicing. That thought has been coming up here and there. I read it right at the beginning of this meeting. All those that seek thee should rejoice in the Lord. Praise God. That's so important. As we seek God, we have to rejoice. We have to praise him. That's an expression of faith. That tells the Lord that we are believing that he's going to come through. We believe that he sees our effort to reach out to him, and he's going to honor that. Oh, and sometimes it takes a while. We don't get the blessing that we're looking for right away, and we can get discouraged. And that's why Jesus says, keep rejoicing. Don't let yourself get discouraged and stop seeking me, but just keep praising me for who I am and praising me for what I've done. That'll help you to keep reaching out. And so our song, the first verse to our song is Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I hope that you're learning how to praise God. Camp is a good place to learn. And then when you go back home, as you're able in your church, maybe they do things a little bit differently, but there are opportunities to praise God. If you sing songs in your church, and I imagine everybody does, sing them to Jesus. Sing them with all your heart. Don't just sing the ones you like. Sing all of them. And look at the words and see what it says. And make it yours. Praise God. God wants us to get to the place where we praise him all the time. Amen. And not just off and on. When I'm at camp, I praise him. When I'm back home, I don't. We've got to learn to praise God. And we've got to make it a daily practice. You know, there are some things in the Bible that the Bible tells us to do all the time. I did a study recently in Canarsie. I called it the Always Study. Because there were verses in the Bible where we're told to do this all the time, or continually, or forevermore. Okay, so that means for the rest of my life, I should be doing these things as a Christian. And one of them is rejoice evermore. Don't rejoice less as you get older. David said, I'm going to praise him more and more when I get older. And I'm going to show the next generation how great God is, right to the very end of my life. And so we got to learn to rejoice. When things don't go your way, praise him. Praise him. Don't give in to those feelings of disappointment and discouragement. Praise him. You can praise yourself out of that. Brother Paul spoke about decisions that we make, choices that we make. We don't have to carry things with us. We don't have to accept things just because they fall in our lap. But we can praise our way out of any situation, and we can praise ourselves into the glory of God. And no one can do that for you. Sometimes I wish I can get inside people. You know, I told people in Canarsie, and I know it sounds rather boastful, and I didn't mean it that way, but I said, if you would praise God the way I do, things would go a lot better for you. And I know that's true. I know there's not one meeting in Canarsie when I'm in the meeting where I don't praise him if I have opportunity. And maybe you say, well, that's your job. You're a minister. Well, not every minister does that either. But I need to, when I'm in the meeting, I praise him. I praise him with all my heart. God has done that in me. But it didn't start that way. It was a little bit awkward at first. I was a little shy to begin with. There were times when I didn't feel like praising God, so I didn't. But as I began to yield to God and say, Lord, teach me how to praise you. Lord, you're worthy of my praise, no matter how I feel. Help me to praise you every opportunity that I'm given, and to do it with all my heart. You know, God makes it easier. God causes, he gives you a capacity to praise and rejoice. And it's not perfect yet, but God's working on that in my life and in your life as well. And every minister should be able to say to his congregation, you praise God the way I do, or better. But to be an example along those lines. And so praise the Lord. Let's keep that up. And then the next verse says, call upon the Lord, call upon his name. Praise God. That's prayer. That's supplication. That's seeking the Lord in prayer. Call upon his name. Hallelujah. That has to be a part of our life. That's another thing. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice evermore. Okay? And then pray without ceasing. Without ceasing means never stop. Let it always be a part of your Christian life, prayer. Prayer. Let it grow. Let that prayer life grow. Oh, Jesus, help me to pray every day. Help me to take my needs to you. Teach me how to call on God and really seek him. You know what it talks about, call upon his name. It's not just praying, Lord, do this for me and bless that person, but it's calling on the name of the Lord, that he will come to you, that he will reveal himself to you, that he will have his way in your life and get his will done in your life. We got to learn to call on him like that. I'm so glad that after meeting sometimes we're able to call upon God. We had a good time of calling upon God the other night. Oh, it's something that God wants to incorporate in our life all the time. When I go back home, teach me how to call upon you, Lord. Teach me how to keep up in prayer. Hallelujah. You know, in Canarsie, we have a chart on the wall, and it's read the Bible through in a year. And our previous pastors, they were big on that. You know, read the Bible through every year. And in the beginning of the year, you'd sign your name on the paper, and then they'd make a chart, and they put your name there. And now you had to read the Bible through every year because everyone was watching your progress, right? They could go up to the chart and say, hey, well, you haven't read for a while. So, anyway, and we still do that, you know. If people want to, if it helps them to be regular about it, then that's good. And but I thought we should have a chart that says prayer every day. Now, maybe not a chart. Maybe a card that you can stick in your wallet that says July 1st. Did I pray for 15 minutes today? Good, check it off. July 2nd, did I pray for 15 minutes today? No, I didn't. Oh, okay. I don't want to go to bed. I got 5 more minutes to go, right? You know, I know that sounds kind of mechanical, and we think, well, that's not real prayer. But you know, there's something about discipline. It's something about the person that gets businesslike about this and says, I'm going to learn how to do this. I'm going to pray 15 minutes a day. I'm going to make sure I do that. And, you know, you get regular about that, reading your Bible, praying. It becomes a habit after a while. But more than that, God begins to meet you, and then you find out, oh, Thursday, I prayed a half hour. Oh, where did the time go? Well, the Lord met me that day. And then maybe it's a half hour a day. Maybe it becomes an hour a day. And but you got to be regular about it and make it a part of your everyday life. Brother John Munsinger, Brother Paul's brother, he was teaching Sunday school years ago when I was attending Ridgewood. And he said often, you know, he taught the young college students and so on. And he said throughout the years, he said, young people have come to me and they've opened their hearts to me and said, Brother John, I just don't have the blessing of God in my life. I don't feel his presence like I used to. And he said, I always ask him these two questions. Are you reading your Bible and praying every day? And he said, in every case, they say no. Now, there's got to be something to that, right? When we stop reading our Bible, we stop praying, we begin to lose out. See, you can read your Bible and feel no special blessing that day. You can pray and not feel any special thing happening. But something is happening. God is working. And we suffer when we neglect those things. Oh, I've made many mistakes over the years. I prayed and then didn't pray, read my Bible, then skipped a few days. But I find that when I'm regular about it, there is something that is consistent in my walk with God and my Christian life. And so that's the second verse. We're going to move along. These verses are short, aren't they? Praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Praise God. That means testify. That means get in the habit of talking about Jesus to others and telling what he's done for you and how great he is and maybe how he's answered your prayer or how he's met you or something he's made real to you. You know, here at camp, you might not have this in your church. We at camp have plenty of opportunity to testify in almost every meeting. If you want to get up, you can say something. A lot of churches don't let that happen, and maybe for good reason in some cases. But you know, in some churches you have to wait until testimony night, and then you can give a testimony. Well, in our church, we like to give people opportunity in every meeting. If God wants them to share something, if God has answered prayer, done something wonderful in their life, they can give their praise to him. Well, people have to learn how to do that, don't we? Sometimes you can go on and on and on and on, or sometimes you can talk about a lot of things that don't really glorify the Lord. But we learn, and God sees our desire to give him thanks. I mentioned this so many times. Some of you know Sister Nora Bennett. She used to live in the Faith Home in Woodhaven, and now she's serving God in other places. But she got up one time in church and said, "You know, the testimonies that I always remember are the ones that I give." And we said, "Whoa, they must be really good." And then she went on to explain. She said, "Not that my testimonies are better than anybody's, but when I get up and give God thanks for what he's done for me, he makes that more real to me. When I give expression and I say thank you publicly for what God has done, he makes it so real to me, I can't forget it." And I think that's true. When you testify, God meets you. Has anyone ever experienced that? When you get up and testify, God meets you. God blesses you because you are declaring his doings among the people. And of course, others get blessed as well. And then the next verse talks about, "Make mention that his name is exalted. Proclaim that his name is exalted." Oh, everywhere we go, we have to let people know how wonderful Jesus is, not just with our words, but the way we live, the way we serve him. People see that there's something about the God that we love that they want to know. "I want what you have. What is it about this God that even when things go wrong for you, you still trust him, you still praise him, you still talk about his goodness, you still seek him?" Oh, we exalt the name of Jesus. We magnify the name. We make him big in the eyes of others. Praise God. "Lord, magnify yourself in my life. Lord, glorify yourself in me." That's my call, and that's my joy. And so, "Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth." And then it says, "Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." I think it would do every one of us good if we would, somewhere along the way, cry out and shout unto the Lord. And that would break something in you. You know, we're bound not by sinful things, but we're bound by self-consciousness and all these things. And we don't give God the praise that he deserves. We hold back. We're too shy. If we're too shy to praise him, we're too shy to testify. If we're too shy to testify before the saints, we're too shy to witness to anybody else. And, you know, these things, they just hinder us from entering into the fullness of his blessing and being all that God wants us to be. And when we're praising God, don't be afraid to shout hallelujah and really just let it go. Forget about yourself and just let the Spirit of God bring release into your life. Sometimes when we do that, God breaks something in us to enable us to come under the anointing and to be able to praise him and worship him more freely in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. And Sometimes we praise him quietly. Sometimes we shout. Sometimes we clap our hands. Sometimes we stand to our feet. Sometimes we raise our hands. Sometimes we march around the room. Sometimes we dance in the spirit. Praise God. But it starts with your mouth. It starts with praising him. Opening your mouth. It's the fruit of your lips. Praise. You don't just praise him in your heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if your mouth never says praise the Lord, then you're not praising him very much in your heart. But when you praise him in your heart, with all your heart, oh, you got to open your mouth and say hallelujah, praise God. You've got to forget about what anybody else does. You got to forget about what your friends may think. You've got to just get your eyes on Jesus and lift your hands and praise him and glorify God. And God will meet you. He inhabits the praises of his people. Praise God. So, here's a song that God wants us all to sing. Hallelujah. It's our song. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And so, let's learn to sing the song that the Spirit has given us, and let's practice it. You know, if you want to be a good singer, the choir wants to sound good, you got to practice. So let's practice every day and say, Lord, help me to do these things all the time. And make it a part of my life. And you'll find that when you go back home, as our sister Ing said, you'll find Jesus will teach you how to walk with him. He'll keep you growing in him. You won't lose the blessings that God gives you so easily. But you're living a lifestyle where Jesus can bless and keep you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's sing Exalt His Name together. And we'll change the order of the service then. Exalt His Name together. Wonderful, majestic song that we can really praise God by. Number 43 in our hymn books. 43. Let's stand together and let's praise Him with all our hearts. Amen.
Christ the Lord brings me.
Now, after we sing this last verse, we're going to have choir practice. That's altar service. We're going to ask the Lord to teach us how to sing this song. Hallelujah. And maybe God will talk to you about praise. Maybe God will talk to you about something else that we mentioned. But, oh, let's say, Jesus, teach me. I want to learn to walk with you. I want to learn to rejoice in you all the time. I want to give you the glory that you deserve. And so, Lord, I call upon you tonight. Won't you come and put this song in my heart, set it into my life, and help me to sing it every day and help me to get better at it all the time. Hallelujah. And fill this world with music. Hallelujah. The music of Jesus, the light of Christ himself. Let's sing that last verse. The morning stars did praise him before all time began. Angelic choirs worship that the Son of Man. And through the endless ages, his name adorned shall be. So praise the name of Jesus now and eternally. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother George, pray with us again, please. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Lord, we praise you. You are worthy of all praise and honor and
praise, God.
And we rejoice in your kingdom. And we pray that your kingdom would come in us in a greater way.
Yes, Lord.
We would learn
this. Hallelujah.
Lord,
praise God.
Let you have the glory in all that we do and say. That we would learn to praise you and call upon you and make mention of that your name is exalted. And that we would cry out and shout, oh Lord, as we live in your kingdom, Lord, work in our hearts, Lord. Make us what we ought to be, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Now let's go to prayer. Let's give just a little more time to the Lord. Maybe he'll keep you here long. Maybe he'll tell you to go to sleep. But let's give him a chance to set that song into our hearts. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, hallelujah, oh Jesus, yes Lord, we worship you Lord, glory, 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 hallelujah, oh Jesus, teach me Jesus, help me. Oh, set your song into my heart, Jesus, I pray. Wonderful Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. Wonderful Lord, wonderful Lord.
Sweep us in, Jesus, we pray. Wonderful Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. I will pour water on him who is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Open your heart for the gift I am bringing. While you are seeking me, I will be found. I will pour water on him who is thirsty. So certain, so true.